This reading is entitled, A Wave is Ocean, by Muji. In this piece, he writes about our sense of individuality and our ultimate oneness with all that is. According to Muji, we are like waves on an ocean, identifiable for but a short while in our independence, soon to return to it, which is what the wave always is. A wave is ocean, and when it rises up, it is given the name wave. When it's given this name, it is like it has an independent existence. It seems to roll along the surface, which is all water, water flowing in water, and this we call a life. Then it subsides, and this is called a death. Nothing happened to the water. It's just a spontaneous movement. But because of the name and the form, it appears as separate existence. All the while, it is only the play of water, rising, flowing, subsiding, no story. Mind makes the story by creating an illusory identity. In true understanding, it is all one. When the identity rises up, we call it life. When it subsides, we call it death. But really, if you look from the perspective of the pure self, there is no such thing as autonomous, independent existence. All actions are the actions of the ocean.
So, modern tribes. Have any of you tried to open a bank account lately? It's not as easy as it used to be. We have to prove our identity. We have to prove who we are, even though we clearly know who we are, and most of us have been who we are for what feels like an awfully long time now. The question of identity has an almost obsessive quality in modern society. One of the newest, fastest growing forms of insurance is that which has been designed to protect us from identity fraud. Our governments are forever trying to find new ways to identify those who have a right to be in a particular place and those who do not. Databases the world over have many ways to verify just who we are. Clerks ask us those special questions, the answers to which only we should know. Our mother's maiden name, or the name of our first pet, or our first school. And sometimes I answer those questions one way, and sometimes I answer them another, and that doesn't work. How strange we human beings can be. But perhaps such concerns about identity are as old as the hills. There's a lovely story about the Sufi holy fool, Mullah Nasruddin. I'm telling it here in a modern version, written by Peter Hawkins. It's said that Mullah Nasruddin went into a bank that he didn't usually frequent, and he asked to withdraw a large amount of money from his account. And the bank clerk was naturally a bit suspicious and asked him politely, "Do you have any means of identifying yourself?" And Nasruddin reached down into the pockets of his long cloak and he found an ornate hand mirror. He held the mirror up, he looked studiously into it, and then he exclaimed to the bank clerk, "Yes, that's me, all right." He's playing with the idea that when it comes to our identity, ultimately, it's us who decides who we are. Yet in 13th century Persia, when Nasruddin's stories first emerged, identity was given at birth, and it generally remained fixed. And that's been the case for most of human history, hasn't it? In order to survive, most people who've ever lived on this planet have probably taken the question of, who am I, very much as given. Identity, given by birth into a particular family, into a particular tribe, or in a particular region or country, into a particular religious group, with all the other defining characteristics that are often taken as given. Gender, race, social class, education, nationality, on and on and on and on. These identifying groupings, they've been vital for human survival. They've probably been psychologically helpful too. But when we hold them too tightly, or when they're fixed too firmly. Such identities can stifle some people, along with our yearning to belong. Don't many of us also have a yearning for freedom, for self-exploration, for self-expression, a redefining of who we know ourselves to be periodically throughout our lives? I wonder how many different yous you've actually been so far. And I wonder if there have been times in your life when you really felt that longing for freedom, for a new you to be allowed to be. For some of us, these can be difficult transitions when those around us maybe don't want us to change, maybe they can't accept the new us that is emerging, or sometimes we ourselves are the ones holding us back, unsure perhaps of the new reality that's coming into focus, maybe scared of the potential consequences of an altered identity. And perhaps some of us know the pain of what writer John O'Donohue calls a false belonging, when we perhaps have outgrown our circumstances, yet dare not or know not how to move on into an unknown way of being, that we perhaps hear calling us from within our very selves. He writes, "You should never belong fully to something that is outside yourself. It is very important to find a balance in your belonging. You should never belong totally to any cause or system. People frequently need to belong to an external system because they are afraid to belong in their own lives. If your soul is awakened, then you realize that this is the house of your belonging, your real belonging. Your longing is safe in here. Belonging is relating to longing. If you hyphenate belonging, it yields a lovely axiom for spiritual growth. Be your longing. Longing is a precious instinct in the soul." He recommends that we always first claim what he describes as our own interiority. If you belong there, if you are in rhythm with yourself and connected to that deep, unique source within, then you'll never be vulnerable when your outside belonging is qualified, relativized, or even taken away. No, you'll be able to stand on your own ground, the ground of your soul, where you are not a tenant, no, where you are at home. Words from John O'Donohue. I think we're fortunate to live in a world where we can make choices about belonging, where we can consult our own heart to tell us who we really are and what is precious to us. Most of us now live in settings where we can question our given identities and where we're able to make some choices about who we tell the world we are. Yet it can still be an act of courage, can't it, to stand up and to choose a label for ourselves and to start searching for another community, a different community perhaps from the norm. This is what Jane Blackall was talking about in her service a few weeks ago, and you can read her piece about labels in this month's bumper edition of our newsletter, available in both paper copy and online. But Jane writes about giving yourself one of these labels can be a first step in finding and connecting with kindred souls who share the same identity and similar life experiences, finding a sense of solidarity and comfort and a larger community where together you can gather the strength to stand up and be seen and be heard. Modern tribes. You can belong to more than one of them. You get to choose. You can develop your involvement. You can take on new responsibilities as you get more settled in. You can invite others to join you. That story we heard earlier on, that classic morality tale where the little mouse is threatened by the farmer and calls out to all the other animals for help, And when they ignore his cries with a shrug that says, "Nothing to do with me, mate," their failure to deal with the mouse's problem eventually led to their own tragic ending. There's a message there for all of us, isn't there? We're in this together, and what affects one can potentially affect us all. And if we then take a step further in our exploration of what identity means, we perhaps arrive at the message of the mystics throughout the ages, that in the end, our individual identity is merely a covering, a shell, if you like. And at the core, we're not separate at all. Our individual identities are masking a deeper reality of oneness. Like those individual waves, we soon enough return to the ocean from whence we came. But oh, the joy of the wave as it breaks forth on its momentary claiming of its own identity. Amen. May you listen to your longing to be free. May the frames of your belonging be generous enough for your dreams. May you arise each day with a voice of blessing whispering in your heart. May you find a harmony between your soul and your life. May the sanctuary of your soul never become haunted. May you know the eternal longing that lives at the heart of time. May there be kindness in your gaze when you look within. May you never place walls between the light and yourself. May you allow the wild beauty of the invisible world to gather you, mind you, and embrace you in belonging. Amen. Amen. Go well, and blessed be.